is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
We are back after another weekend. I'm laughing and smiling, but inside I am crying. This is VAR You Serious, a different kind of football show. We do talk about football today. I wish we don't. I wish we didn't today. But we do talk about football, but we talk about many other things. You know, get things off your chest. We talk about tinfoil hat conspiracies, stories from real football fans that, you know, watch their team week in, week out, or go and see them live in the flesh. All of that. We talk about the pain, the love, and the joy from football. And we do some things with a bit of a twist. Fantasy 11s that nobody asked for. But they're a good bit of fun. We get rants of weeks, things off our chest. But for today's show, we have a very special guest. Oh, I'm rhyming. He's awake today. Today, we are joined by Ben Spaulding. Give a round of applause in the studio. Thank you very much. Ben, lovely to have you here in the studio. Obviously, a Brighton fan, but a football fan, a very big football fan. You know, you work in the space as well. You're working for a big company in Sport Bible as well. So you've seen a lot within the space and all sports. But I know you're a big Brighton fan. And do you know what? I probably did watch the result on the weekend, but I watched Match of the Day with half interest because obviously what happened on my game. So who did Brighton play? Just let's start. They had who did Brighton play and was?
We played Burnley. I went there. I forget how far Burnley is.
You went to Turf Moor.
The second stadium, time. The first time I went there, I was like, I'm never coming back. It's so far away. I thought it was next to Manchester, and that's a doable journey from St Pancras and Euston. But no, it's way beyond that. You go Preston and then you change. It's a long journey. But yeah, we got the 2-0. So I'm very happy with that, with our late push for European football, despite going on like a 13-game winless run early in the season. We're bringing it back and we're starting to see the Brighton of old. So yeah, fans are really happy. Fans are buying into Fabian Hürsler now because a lot of fans didn't really like him. Apparently it's a German trend to not go and clap and cheer and celebrate after games. He would just go straight in the tunnel, even after defeats. But now he's starting to do it. I feel like maybe the experienced head like Dunk, Milner have maybe said, look, you need to start doing this because the fans love it. And now he is. And wow. Yeah, we're loving him now.
That's a good bit of insight. I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Other than Jurgen Klopp, who's an absolute fiend for it, isn't he?
Yeah, fist pumps and all that. The energy and the full emotion. It's funny. I'm actually doing a bit of course. I'm doing a course actually. Funny enough, in sports media, and Jurgen Klopp, his interview after there is a 1-1 draw against Everton is what I have to like depict and talk about. It's really weird. But yeah, he like I said, German that passion from him. But various other managers, I didn't know that is a trend that they go straight down the tunnel. And I knew there was some murmurs of Brighton fans falling out of love with Hürsler, actually. So that's interesting to see that he's kind of half getting them back on side now that they're making a push. Obviously, he's sat in ninth now.
I'm glad he is, by the way, because there's absolutely nothing out there. Because everyone goes, who would you want if Fabian goes? There's no one.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, the quality of managers at the moment is at an all-time low.
I agree with that. And also with, I don't like Hürsler, I'll be real. Because of the whole, you know, we're anti-football and when we got a red card last season, Declan Rice, he said it was a definite record. All that really annoyed me and irked me, but I can take away my frustrations and I don't want to say hatred, I'm not a hateful person, but dislike to him. I can see he has got quite a good manager. Got a bit of good, he's got some good philosophy. He obviously got Danny Welbeck firing as well. He can get his players
He'll be on the plane, by the way. I will be having Welbeck on the back of an England shirt this summer, believe me.
Really?
Well, Tuchel said the reason why he didn't call him up to this squad, didn't want to upset his workload. He knows that Danny Welbeck's one of the best English strikers at the moment.
Mm-hmm, correct, that's fair.
And yeah, so I think it's quite clever from Thomas. Don't upset his flow, don't upset his form.
Fair, he's older as well, more football and a bit more pressure. Yeah, and he's experienced, so he doesn't really need that when it comes to those sort of friendlies. But maybe, yeah, going to the World Cup.
What story that would be for football as well.
It'd be amazing.
He's a loved player across the Premier League.
Can you imagine people, Danny Welbeck going, an old experienced player, and Max Dalman, 16-year-old.
I back that. I have Dalman over Madueke. I mean, he's stealing a living, Madueke. I don't know how he's got there. He must be an industry plant or something. Because Max Dalman is levels above Madueke, but Madueke starting ahead of him in the World Cup. Lamine Yamal, I think, who Jack Wilshere said this when he was doing a press conference for Luton. You're saying if Lamine Yamal can go and blow up in the Euro 2024, why can't Max Dalman? Just give him a chance and he'll do it. I saw Rooney do that when he was a teenager for England as well.
And I agree. Like I said in the last time we had a guest in, and she said the same thing. She was like, I want Max Dalman. She's a Liverpool fan to go to the World Cup. I said, I believe that, but it's difficult coming from an Arsenal fan because people just say, oh, here you go again, bigging up your own teammates, you're overgassing them. So that's very nice to hear from you, Ben. So thank you very much for that. Let's talk about you, though. Obviously, you're in the space now. You can see it's thriving. Well, I have to say this to all guests that are in the sports media space, that it is thriving. It's good fun. It's hard work. It's not always financially rewarding as many people think, but it's amazing to be part of it. And you, like I said, you're in a good place. Seagull Social is a channel that you work on, following Brighton. And I believe you're still at Sport Bible, hopefully.
Yeah, of course.
And let's talk about that then, your introduction to Sport Bible and what you've done since being there, the best person you've worked with and stuff. Give us some insight.
Okay, so I'll start from the beginning. I think I joined there maybe 4 years in August.
Okay.
So it's been there for a while. I was just doing channel management, managing the socials, but in the background, I was still keep doing presenting work with like the podcast and whatnot, other little bits of freelance work here and there. And then finally got the opportunity at Sport Bible to showcase my skills with an NFL player called Debo Samuel. So I went shot with him weirdly at the McLaren headquarters, which is really sick. He was doing like a
collab. In Woking, yeah?
Yeah, he was doing a collab with McLaren. I think it was like they have a series where they have an F1 driver and someone from another sport come together.
Nice.
Which was really cool. And then I think a month later, got a last minute call up to go to Madrid to interview Eden Hazard. And I was like, given 10 minutes with him, second interview, Eden Hazard.
That's your second interview. Yeah. They're going to fly you to Madrid.
For 24 hours in Madrid, AGT, a friend of both of ours, me and him had the time of our lives for 24 hours.
Alex went as well, AGT
I saw him on the red carpet. I was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, what are you doing here? I was like, yeah, fair enough. That's probably.
How did I not know? Bro, here's my good friend. I don't know. To be fair, he pops up everywhere. Yeah. He's doing golf in, I don't even know,
Thailand,
he went to Thailand and all that. Yeah, so, but mad. So they flew second gig.
Yeah. I mean, first class as well. I mean, first class on like a short flight like that isn't the first class you'd imagine, but yeah.
They covered, what they paid for? No.
I think was it EA or, yeah, is it EA? Yeah.
Blimey, man, I don't even get that now. I'm 6 years into this game. I don't get, no, I don't get looked after like that, but okay.
I was
fair.
So ill on the flight over. I was literally having Lem sips and so many drugs just to get me through it. And I was just worried about sneezing in front of Hazard and like just doing something dodgy like that and thinking my career's done there. So I was just trying to fight back every sneeze, every cough whilst I was chatting to him.
Are you bilingual? Do you speak Spanish or was it all in English?
Yeah, all in English, nice. Yeah, which is good, yeah. And our content is really, really fun. We don't do serious content, do the serious questions.
So. Yeah, because I was going to say, Eden Hazard, I've encountered him at Strike Night, a Nike event, and he was quite, he was very confident in that. He was a bit playful, a bit of a joke. But like, I didn't know how he would be to work with properly in that sense. I just saw him passing an event. So it all went well though, yeah?
All went well, yeah. Weirdly, like 10 minutes in, or like 5 minutes in, like tickled his nipple because I was doing something that Rudiger done. I was like, because we were playing like game faces, so he had to guess his former teammates from like their EA game face.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he'd done that. And we were talking about him like tickling nipples at the time because he was always pinching people's nipples.
Madness.
And then I'd done that to him. I was like, in my head, I was like, why did you just do that in front of everyone? But it was fine. He thought it was funny. But yeah, he's a great character. Then went on to like interview people like Harry Kane and a lot of other big names. It's been an incredible couple of years since then.
Blimey, we only met like two years ago, but properly. And when you did a shoot, I was doing a shoot with Sport Bible, and so was Ty. I didn't realize there's a lot of foundation there as well. Yeah. These are some big names. So out of the names you kind of mentioned, so Harry Kane and that, and Eden Hazard, what is the best? Was that second one the best, or is there one that stands out?
One that stands out. I think Hazard probably just for the trip. I think the trip, the night out afterwards. Just the whole experience of doing that as your first proper one was incredible.
I'll give some props to Sport Bible, you know, because I've recently, funny enough, on that course, the head of Sport Bible, one of the head of Sport Bibles was one of the talkers. That's so funny you mentioned that. I should have his name to hand, but I'll mention
Nick?
That.
Nick's been, maybe.
Yeah, I've got it on my calendar.
Long hair.
Oh, do you know what? I'm gonna find it right now. Okay, find it right now. Apologies to do this live on air, but here we go. Not John Cross or Andy Walker. That was one of them. Tisley. If I can't find it, then we will continue. Mark Clement. No, was that him? It might not have been him. All right. Well, we'll come back to that. Apologies for doing that live on air. And Gary,
they are really good at giving opportunities to people that want to get involved.
Well, that was where I was going. I was giving them props because Maz obviously was on here last week, and he was saying, "Look, I flew to." Jamaica, and was working with Usain Bolt in one of my early shoots. I was like, who? I was like, what company just says, you're kind of half new here, and let's just put you, I mean, Robbie and the AFTV, they threw you in the deep end, but like, that's an amazing gig. And that, like you said, that Eden Hazard one is massively incredible.
Props
as well.
To Maz, by the way. He's the real trailblazer. Him and Josh Denzel at the company were the first people to go from like working behind the laptop to showing their face on screen and then, you know, getting presented works. Like, it makes so much sense. If you're on a salary at a company, why would you not give the people you're already paying an opportunity to do it instead of paying someone that's not as good a few £1,000s? You'd be saving loads of money and you get good talent out of it.
Very true, by the way. That is very true. You've got to back the people that you're backing it in.
And me and Maz go way back. He was best friends with my brother back at school, so I've known him ever since I was a teenager, playing Ultimate Team with him when it first came out. Like, yeah, it's been. And then we've done the podcast together with Brighton, and then we worked together at Sport World. It's been a crazy story.
That is mad, isn't it? Yeah, me and, like I said, me and Maz, obviously, it's not going to be about Maz, but the whole show. But yeah, we have connections. He's friends with my partner, and they grew up together as well. It's really weird, really weird. Big
we
up.
Have connections. My parents met your partner's parents.
Oh my God,
in a
yes.
pub in Shoreham.
Oh my, so yes. Random. Yeah. Oh yeah, you mentioned that to me not so long ago. Oh my God, I completely forgot about that.
So random.
That is so bad. And funny enough, sorry, this is like a nice little reunion show, but I went to Brighton yesterday for the Brighton Marathon. I didn't run it. There's no way I'm running no marathons. Big up everyone that runs marathons.
Well done, by the way.
Because, jeez, 3 hours, 4 hours. We got there at midday, and I was like, so when's the race start? And then my partner was like, Cecil, it started like 3 hours ago. the people were finishing now. I was like, people have been running for 3 hours. And she was like, yes, that is what the marathon is, a full marathon. I was like, damn. Damn, I honestly, I used to be an athlete, but I commend anyone that does them because I don't know how they do it. And
I really want to do one.
You want to do? See, I find that mental. Like, no. You want to do it.
100%. You've got, it's one of those things on a bucket list you've got to do when you're.
What bucket list?
You can do it when you're older as well. You don't have to do it when you're young. You see so many old people, and it's an incredible achievement for when you see like that older generation completing it in a really good time as well.
Yeah, no.
I think you just got to keep your body ticking to do that.
Incredible, incredible. Yeah, commend everyone that even signs up. I feel like it's like getting in a boxing ring. I've got to give ultimate respect to anyone that does it. We spoke about some of the best people that you've worked with. Always a tough question. Worst or one that you're not even, or one that you remember because
I
of
don't
a,
say
a
neg- it.
Oh, he's got one. Sometimes people haven't got one, but go on. That's right. It's Fubar Radio. VR, are you serious? Come on. Talk to us, Ben.
Okay, yeah. You know what? I'll just say it. Could have caught him on a bad day.
Yeah, that's fair to
and
say.
And that's so fair. It was on a red carpet. He'd been speaking to a few people for quite a while, even though we were all given 5 minutes. He's with someone for like 15 minutes and thinking, he's eating into our time here. So maybe he was annoyed because he was with them for so long.
Right.
Gets to us. We've got two fun formats. We're going to do like a blind ranking with him and a winner stays on, I believe.
Okay, chill ones.
Chill ones, yeah. And he kind of just was like tutting and like going, oh God, like this is going to take a while. I was like, it should only take a few minutes. And then he was just giving really bad energy. And then the camera went on and he was like that really bubbly personality. And Daniel Sturridge.
Right.
But I mean, hopefully I just got him on a bad day, but it was really, really awkward and uncomfortable. And then at the end, I still, for some reason, just kind of, I don't know, it's what I do when I'm like in pilot mode. I'm like, get a picture with him afterwards. You know?
Yeah,
it's quite standing. A nice thing to do. So I got a picture with him smiling next to him and he just had like an
really?
RBF. Yeah. But maybe I caught him on a bad day because he is such a great bubbly personality. I love him as a pundit and as a personality post-football, post his career, I think he's done amazing. But that one's always stuck with me.
Interesting.
It's a really uncomfortable moment, yeah.
Sorry, it's only because recently I did a video at Border League and I asked him to do the walk that he did when he said Max Salmon walking into school and he declined it. And he was like, no, I'm not doing it. But he hid that decline the offer due to me being on a rival team, which that right. I can kind of understand because obviously I'm with another team that's not part of his team. But then... that's interesting.
Yeah, that's just the only, and that is the only one that's ever stuck with me. And like you said, you can catch people. He's a human being. You can catch him on a bad day. And fair play, it might have just been a bad day. The video still banged though, because he delivered in the video, which that's the most important thing, right?
Yeah, but also, with me, I feel Daniel Sturridge is really good energy on camera.
Yes,
I find it really difficult to see people that, and like you said, people are human and can have bad days. But I find it really difficult to see people that if you're like that on camera. Because it's how I am. I don't change from, you see me on camera, you see me in the street. I always have a smile on my face. I try to be my authentic self, regardless of having a bad day. And also the fact that you said, well, you're at an event and he's giving people time slots to like five minutes. Once you go into that space, you know what you're getting. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like I do events. I've been on red carpets and you're signing up to be doing press junkets, doing, you know, quick things for socials. Like that is same with a Border League. I don't expect people to give too much bad attitude because I'm like, you're in a space where there's cameras everywhere. Like, you signed up for this. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't
know. It's one of those things that if you know if your mate just goes, oh, I met this person the other day, the first question you ask is, what was he like? Was he actually like what he is on camera?
Yeah.
And then I think you need to be how you are on camera.
I agree. I fully agree.
Otherwise, like, it's not authentic.
100%.
And people see that straight away.
Exactly. If you're in your local supermarket, or you're having dinner with your family, or you've had an argument and stuff in your day-to-day life, and you catch someone then, I get it. Even still, I don't think it's an excuse personally, because I've had a mad story where, oh, do you know what I'll say? My granddad was in hospital, Chelsea and Westminster, and literally passed away in hospital. This is quite deep. And then I went to Tesco opposite. I was with my sister. It was during COVID times. I had mask on and everything. And then someone recognized me in Tesco with my mask on. It was like, can I get a photo? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I had to just put a smile on and just was really nice. Asked him what's his name and all that. So as I always do when I meet people. But like, that was really tough. But even at that moment, I was still who I am.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's more energy being rude than just being nice. Putting on a brave, nice face is just so easy to put a smile on.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, we'll move forward. Yeah. That was quite nice little a family reunion, a bit of heaviness for the start of the show. But
D-Studge, if you listen, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's meet again, and I'm sure you'll be fine.
I'm gonna see him tonight and say, how dare you? How dare you be so grumpy? Right, after this, we'll talk a bit more around the weekend's football. And we'll probably bring in Upper Juice, so he's a Man City fan.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas. FUBAR Radio. VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
Right. This is the time where I should actually leave the seat and just let you guys just bicker and just talk about how City are going to win the league and Arsenal fans are bottling it. And blah, blah, blah. Anyway, let's talk. This weekend, Arsenal played a match against Bournemouth at home, which I'll keep it authentic and true. I saw it being a tough game. I actually said it could be 1-1. That was actually what my head was saying. I ended up predicting what my heart was obviously being on a channel that's an Arsenal channel. I said 1-0 Arsenal, but I said I would not be shocked if it was 1-1. All those results I mentioned were wrong. And we actually lost the game, which, did I see that coming? Probably not, if I'm going to be completely honest. I thought it would be difficult, but we've only lost one game at home before that, which was Man United, which they deserved to win. They were unbelievable. They were near on perfect when they came up against us. Didn't see that. My good friend James Hill, he's a Bournemouth centre-back. He came through my company talent transfer. I mentor players, if you don't know, and we've been really good friends ever since. He was playing, he was starting, and he had a really good game. And every time he got on the ball, I was really happy for him. And then he was finding passes that were really hurting Arsenal. And I was on a watch along having to, I was getting cooked for basically being an unauthentic Arsenal fan, because I'm backing a player that I've worked with and mentored through. But I was like, okay, you're right. You are right. And then we started losing. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go mad. My whole head was just on the moon. All weekend it's been on the moon. I've had a bad month. We've come out of two cups. My nation, Jamaica, didn't make the World Cup. And then on top of that, we've just lost to Bournemouth at home in a game that really should have been, I never saw that we'd drop points on, as in lose. I thought we could draw, but not lose. And then to top it all off, I didn't care about the City-Chelsea game. And I know it sounds so biased and so stupid because I'm saying that. Yes, I watched it, but I was like, I don't care what happens because we've lost. It doesn't matter. It's down to us to win this league. They go on and slap Chelsea 3-0. Chelsea bend over and just take a hiding. And it's just embarrassing. There's fans doing the Poznan in the crowd. There's guys drinking Arsenal. I don't even know where you get that. I hadn't even got the Arsenal water bottle. He's got the Arsenal water bottle, branded water bottle. He's in the crowd. The cameras pan to him. He's now an influencer, they're saying, and all this rubbish. He even has a change of outfit. How do you go to a game and have all these props and be that comfortable? I can't go. I go to a game, I'm my head's in the seat, in my hands, and I'm pulling my hair. And maybe that's down to the football we're playing currently. But geez, I haven't got that arrogance or comfortability watching Arsenal this second half of the season. And it seems like it's coming to the inevitable, but I don't know, it's tough. I've had people, fans from around the world, message me and say, you've got to talk up and we can't accept this and it's embarrassing. I've seen James B, a good friend of mine, James Bayes, big him up. He spoke about this weekend about how good the fans have been and it's not our faults. And I've been mentioning this as well. Sorry I'm going on a rant, but I have to get this off. This should be my rant of the week, but it's not supposed to be about football in my rant of the week, but this is me just clearing things off my chest. But I said at Southampton when we got knocked out of the cup, the fans were unbelievable. They were so loud. Before the game, started the game, we were in full voice. We were, we were out singing the Southampton fans. We were really, really loud. And I think the stadium gave that effect as well, because it's a really old school stadium where you can dominate the crowd with your voice. And I was like, we're fully back in the scene. We lose that game, we go out. And then I see fans after that. Yes, they're a bit of meltdown, but they're actually still patient because we've got the Premier League to win still. We're going to win the Premier League. Don't worry. Premier League's there. We've backed this team. I think we haven't been that arrogant, if I'm being honest. Yeah, we talk about the parade. What are you going to wear for the parade? But I don't think that's arrogant. It's been 22 years. We're looking forward to something that we haven't seen in so long. That's not being arrogant. I think the fans have done all they can. Bring your breakfast, bring your lunch, Mikel Arteta said, for goodness sake.
Bring your dinner.
Bring your dinner. Bring all of that. We did all that. We was ready to kick every ball, which Arteta has asked us to do with us. We're bringing shin pads. And then we lose to Bournemouth. We do our part, people. We do our part. At the end, they did boo the players. And do I blame them? I've been a footballer. So I would never, that is painful to hear, but sometimes if you don't win this title and you're capitulating now, and it's likely we're going to see that come City on the weekend, it is what it is. The boos might be deserved. And that's awful for me to say. I'm a positive fan. I normally looks on the bright side, positive. People will be looking at me saying, come on, Cecil, keep believing. But there's more proof and evidence. I've been saying it all season. There's more evidence of us capitulating in these latter months than there is of us actually getting over the line. So what do I go off? Do I look delusional and know what's coming and ignore that? I have said I'm all in and I'm back in the team regardless, so I will do, but I will be the fool. Anyway, Kim.
It was class, by the way. Absolutely quality to see you on that live stream.
Oh, I forgot that. And he said, grow up.
I said, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. You're a 30-year-old man doing this.
It's a cold celebration.
And then you go and lose the game anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's embarrassing. I haven't actually got a voice, by the way. This is why I didn't want to come on, because I was screaming the top of my lungs yesterday. That Mark Gahey goal, I swear, like, we've had some unbelievable moments as City fans, like the Aguero moment. Yeah. Istanbul, obviously, was incredible. I genuinely don't remember, apart from those two moments, celebrating a goal like that Gahey moment.
Company scored a goal years ago, though. They needed
the one at Leicester. Unbelievable. Massive moment. But yesterday was like, there's no expectation really for City to win the league this year.
You were there as well.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really expected us to win the league. We were still in a transition. We're not playing that good football. And then you lose to Bournemouth yesterday. And our first half, you can tell that the players are unbelievably nervous.
You
can tell. So like the concourse in the at halftime was very, very nervous atmosphere. People were like, we've got 45 minutes basically to save our season. If we don't win here, we're not going to win the league, blah, 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 blah. And then to come out and play like that, that second half might genuinely be the best I've seen City play in years.
Wow.
We were absolutely unbelievable. And then for Nico Riley to score and Gay to score.
Nico Riley!
Bro, I was genuinely excited.
He's on the plane, start a left back.
Get
him
on
or
the plane.
Hall starting
get
a
him
left
on the plane.
He is doing one absolute sweet.
He's the best young player in the Premier League this year, by miles. And if we actually win the league, I think he might actually get player of the year, because he's been our best player.
He needs to get PFA young player of the year so far. There's not really an argument
ridiculous.
For that.
But I mean, Mark Gay goal, the perfect dagger as well against Chelsea. Just you know, a middle finger to the whole way they do business. Getting rid of one of their best young players, academy stars, to then score against you at the bridge when your team is just going like that after spending so much money. That was the cherry on top of the ice, on top of the cake.
Oh, unbelievable.
I forgot about the Victor Gyökeres celebration. How much of egg have I got on my face? Oh, he's doing it. He's doing it in the studio. They're all doing it. See, this is the thing. This is what we have to, I get it, yeah?
Because like you do things like this.
No, I know. No one else does things like this. I hear it. But I'm like, players, like, you don't think you get... There's pressure and we compete. We get the flack as well, bro. My phone has not stopped going off all weekend. And like, it's just a killer. Nico Riley again. Like, he's just all of that. Even Mark Gay. And do you know what hurts me the most? He's such a lovely. When he scores, he's just so like
so
sweet.
Happy.
And then he did the interview after and he's just so, I'm like, I can't even not like you. I can't not like you, Mark Gay. But geez, why you got to turn up now? Why have you got to turn up now? And that's what infuriates me even more. What you said, that second half, I was swashbuckling football from City. And I said, we go in at halftime and we're drawing games. And then we come out of the second half and we lose them or things don't turn around. Mm. What is Pep saying to these players? What is Pep saying
that
Arteta can't say?
What was that rocket he put up them in that halftime?
He put some up their arse, didn't he?
Wow. What is that?
I think, honestly, I think he probably said to them, this team you're playing against is shit and you're making them look so much better than they are. I understand you're nervous, but just go out and play football. Because when we just played football, some of the stuff I was seeing yesterday, Cherky was doing keepy up, he's chipping it over people's heads to Semenyo. Like,
what? Well, we can do what? That. Arsenal can, why are you not that? Doing? Well, we don't know, but we can. Why can't Arteta go to half time at Southampton and say, these guys are, what you just said there against Southampton, and you turn up and just
he's playing TikToks in front of him instead. That's what he's doing.
I know,
that's the difference. That's the difference. Honestly, that's the difference.
The thing is that I think Arsenal and Arsenal fans get a lot of stick. I think 95% of it is justified. I think Arteta gets a lot of stick. 95% of it, in my opinion, is justified. This extra stuff that he keeps on doing, if you're going to do it, fine. If you're going to do it and you're going to let it get leaked, and you're going to get videos out there so all of the fans and all of the managers and all of the players can see this unbelievably cringe nonsense you're doing. People aren't going to take you seriously. That is my genuine opinion with Arsenal. I think, and I've said to you, since we first met, which was, what, 6 months ago, at no point have City even been within 2 points of Arsenal in that whole period of time.
Wow.
And I've said that whole time, City are going to win the league. Haven't I?
Yeah.
I've been very, very
You did wobble. When you lost against United, let's be real, you said it's done.
I wavered and wobbled. Yeah. I said it might be done. Yeah. I've never concrete. I need to find a clip. Of me saying it's definitely done. I wobbled, but realistically, I've been fairly consistent.
Yeah, you have. You've been more consistent than you've been inconsistent. I'm not gonna bash you with that stick.
My genuine belief is I think that everything around that football club does not help what happens on the pitch. Mm-hmm. The fans are so nervous, which will infiltrate to the players. Arteta is doing this ridiculous nonsense. So people, honestly, Bournemouth, I genuinely believe Iraola will have probably had that video up in the dressing room and going, look at this, look at what they're doing. This is not a serious football team. Mm. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, he would know.
I spoke to
a few Bournemouth fans, spoke to James Hill and that, and I think that their thing was just, we're just going to go for it. And I think, because they
make
saw-
make it smell blood.
Yeah, exactly. They saw what Southampton did and they said, oh, they actually didn't sit back and try and do a low block to frustrate Arsenal. They went for it and Arsenal just seemed to capitulate, which we did. This is what we did. Like I said, I've been a footballer. I know what that looks like. Bad touches, misplacing passes, arguing with your counterpart, your player on the pitch. That is like it's their fault. That's you though. It's nerves in your legs. It's legs getting heavy and whatnot. So frustrating. I even put a story up, which you might have seen this morning or yesterday. 2 years ago. Win 7 and we're champions. That was 2 years ago. Win all 7 and we're champions. It's like Groundhog Day. It's just happening again and again. That was a preview 2 years ago.
If you don't do it this year,
I'm gone.
No, is this the lot? Is that Arteta's final opportunity? Is it just downhill from here? Is this the peak?
No, I don't think it's the peak. I think he can still challenge, but the fans won't allow him to have another year. If he does not win the trophy, it'll be absolute turmoil. Like I said, in that 2 years ago, in that season 22-23 season, the fans, I think the fans do get bashed a lot, but to credit to them, the ones that go to the games and week in, week out follow them, they do everything they can. I remember two seasons ago, bro, we're conceding goals at the Emirates and our fans are celebrating. I've never seen, as in to get behind the boys, they're seeing Arsenal louder than the away fans at the Emirates. I've never seen that. I've never been at a ground where we concede and we're backing the boys celebrate. We still didn't win the league that season. So I'm like, we've done everything. We've done complaints, we've done backing, we've done bringing shin pads, we've done bringing dinners. Anyway, it's frustrating. That is.
What I will say, right, this is just from a pure City point of view. I've been involved in lots of title races. As you know, like throughout growing up, since I've been 16, I've gone to pretty much like every game home and away.
Facts.
This year I've been working a lot, so I haven't gone as much. That feeling inside Stamford Bridge, the singing from literally minute one, this feels like everyone knows that we're going to win the league. And I haven't had that feeling. Every game I've been to this season has felt a bit nervous. There's sort of a couple of games at the Etihad. I went to the Spurs game. Obviously, the atmosphere was poor there. We lost 2-0 or whatever. But like, at no point this season have I really like genuinely felt it. But this weekend did feel like an enormous turning point. And it felt like to every man, woman, child who is in that away end put in an incredible performance. That was one of the loudest I've heard in years from a City away end. And it genuinely just felt like a bit of a party atmosphere. That second half, like doing the Poznan, the Cherky song is obviously like the Semenyo Cherky song is the best song ever. Like that was literally just on repeat for 90 minutes, and it does feel like the tide is turning now. Obviously, we know that next week is it's the Premier League final, right?
Well, this was
whoever wins that wins the league.
You're both obviously in the title race. You've maybe done more title races and experienced more than Cecil here.
Correct.
Where does this match rank on Sunday in like terms of the biggest Premier League games?
It's probably second to the game against United in 2011-2012 when Vincent Kompany scored that header. That was only three games before the end of the season, and that was to get us level on points with them, and it was against United, and it was for our first title. So nothing will beat that game in terms of importance. But this, for me, I said to you, I said the Carabao Cup final
was
absolutely enormous.
Vital. I said the same thing.
And I actually think not only in confidence, I think the fact that City basically showed every team who can now play Arsenal a blueprint of how to play them in that second half, which is basically just go at them.
Bro.
Southampton have done it, they won. Bournemouth have done it, they won. That Carabao Cup game is absolutely enormous, and I do think we'll look back on it and we'll go, yeah, that was the turning point. But yeah, so, I mean, Sunday is huge. Be honest, right, because I'm the producer of this show, yeah? I'm the one who cuts up the clips. I'm the one who writes down when you say something interesting. So all my notes are filled with Cecil says, Arsenal are definitely going to win the league. Where are you at now? And actually, what is your prediction for Sunday as well?
Yikes. Well, you can clip your monologue because it was very, very, it hurts me to hear, but there's a lot of truth in it. I think I'm quite consistent. I said about the Carabao Cup, I said the same thing that Kim said. I said whoever wins that will probably go on and win the league. I think it's a big mental edge on whatever team wins it, and then going up on the trophy stand and seeing that team lift it whilst you're down on the pitch will sway the tide. And people kept telling me, nah, it's a one-off game, that's all load of rubbish. But I generally believe that. And Kim just mentioned what you just said there, like they showed the blueprint. I didn't even consider that, but He's kind of right. There's frailties at Arsenal that we, as an Arsenal fan, I can see as well. Obviously, I'm aware of, but he's right. That Man City team peaked at the right time. They showed how to get Arsenal, and then now I look at their team, I look at their games, and I think, boy, they've got everything to really harm Arsenal Football Club. And considering we're, regardless of the sporting game that we have this week, even if that's a confidence booster, going to City at the Etihad is a completely different kettle of fish. And I don't back my team. I did say on AFT a long time ago, I'm all in. So you'll see me on platform say, we're going to not lose. But my heart of hearts, I don't think we win that game. And do I think we win the league? This is the all important question. Like I keep saying, there's more evidence of us capitulating in these latter months. So I've got to go evidence-based rather than hope and belief. It looks like the tide is slowly changing.
We got him, ladies and gentlemen.
The Sharks,
ladies and gentlemen,
we got him.
The Sharks are about to feast, I think.
Well, I'll cheer you up. So we'll stop talking about City and Arsenal.
Yeah.
We'll talk about something which is probably going to make you feel a little bit better.
Well, I hope so, because I was about to kick you out of the studio, but go on, what is it?
Sunderland beating Spurs.
Yeah, it's nice. That was nice. But
What is going on?
It's
scary hours for Spurs.
They did look better under De Zerbi, but they're still they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And even for me, like, again, my mind's not on that. Like, I remember I was speaking to one of my, so many friends of different clubs, speaking to a Spurs fan, and they were like, when we were on course for a title before the Bournemouth game, and I was like, I was just talking about, you want us to lose. And well, we came up the cups actually. So it was when we came up, we got knocked out of the cup. And I was like, you're not going to laugh at us. And they're like, bro, I've got bigger things to worry about. I've got to try and stay in the league. I don't even care about Arsenal. And I was kind of the same thinking, like, I'm focusing now on the league. I'm not even worried about Spurs. That's you bring it up. I actually forgot. Damn, yeah, they lost. But my mind is so on the moon about Arsenal that not potentially winning a trophy this season. I can't even think about them, but they are in trouble. Them going down.
Massive trouble.
It is, and people keep asking me, will you miss them? Will you miss them? Will I fuck?
Like that, we're in a world where Arsenal could bottle it again and Spurs can get relegated to the Championship. That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
that's insane.
That would be incredible.
And so, I'm a City fan who lives in North London. Yeah. This is feasting hours for me.
It's actually been an embarrassing weekend for London teams. Like, well, the main ones, Tottenham, Chelsea and Arsenal.
What do you guys make of the Chelsea fans, you know, kind of wanting City to win? I know it's not all Chelsea fans, but online it was a serious narrative of Chelsea fans were like, let's lose 26-0, you know, let's just forfeit the match.
It's a majority more than minority of them wanting to lose, because they just said what you just said there about Tottenham being relegated. If that happens and Arsenal bottle it, they are they are overjoyed. That's their dream. I keep speaking to Chelsea fans. I keep saying that. I think it's for me as an Arsenal, I've never wanted my team not to win a game. So it's a bit, for me, I found it embarrassing. However, I don't know if Tottenham are gonna, Chelsea aren't even Arsenal's direct rivals, but if Tottenham are gonna go on and win the league, fair. I would probably want one of the teams to lose. Want my team to lose, but I think it's only really Tottenham. I don't think, like, again, if it was Fulham winning the league as a London club, Chelsea, Crystal Palace, I'd be like, no, I still want my team to win. Yeah. So interesting.
I think only Man United fans are the only people who want Arsenal to win. And probably some United fans of a certain generation probably don't actually care. It's probably a bit 50-50.
Yeah, I've got United fans in my family and they want Arsenal to bottle in City to win it. I think because, I mean, no offence, but not a lot of people care about City winning it enough. So it's like, facts. Yeah, it's a throwaway thing that City can win it again.
We've won it so much as well. It's not as important, I suppose.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Man United London fans want Arsenal to bottle it. A lot of Manchester fans from Manchester, Man United fans, they do not want to see City win nothing.
Yeah, and I get that.
By the way, moving from Brighton to London like three or four years ago, I did not realise how many Arsenal fans there are.
Yeah, well, it's mental.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, in London it's a joke.
It's unbearable. It's
yeah, in London it's, I can't even like, it's a
biggest club in London.
I do think though that it's a bit of a recent thing as well. I think it's now, I think because what, the way
fashion
that,
statement.
I half agree with that as well.
I think the way that Arsenal have marketed themselves, the kits that they constantly bring out, the fact that they're sponsored by Adidas, who bring out the hardest clobber for Arsenal, it's become quite cool to support Arsenal.
The music
now.
Artists that follow them, the people that they're collaborating with, the actor.
My girlfriend said that to me. She was like, if I could choose to support anyone, it would be Arsenal.
Yeah.
And because it's cool.
That's it. You ask people why, that's the
answer. I mean, I was going to the Emirates like 5 years ago when we beat them 3-0 in 2018.
All right.
And the stadium was genuinely half full.
Yeah, it was quiet.
It was really, really quiet. So I think, actually, I've got to praise Arteta, actually, for doing a really good job of getting the traditional fans back on side.
That's it.
And creating, like, this strength in numbers and this complete unity and this isolationism. But obviously that has fostered quite a lot of annoying fans, which has turned a lot of people against Arsenal. So it's a bit of a catch-22, but fair play to them.
It is, but if you're winning things, then it wouldn't matter, but we're not. That's on Mikel Arteta, so as much of a big fan of him. But that's it. Kim, pee off. Get out of here.
Cheers, Kim. I've had enough.
City.
Appreciate
that.
Go away. And you bet. Yeah. Don't encourage him.
No, I need this. I've got a bet with one of my friends and... it's been going on for like the whole season and I keep doubling it. He's like, do you want to back out now? I'm like, no, let's double it again.
That's mad. Yeah, I've got a £2,000 bet on the Arsenal win the league.
Oh.
With my friend.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of money.
Let's quickly go over to just actually after this, I wanna hear the rant. I wanna hear your rant of the week. And I also just wanted to see what you've seen over the weekend. Just briefly, just quick few things what you've seen over the this weekend in sport. After this.
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
Okay, we'll do a quick wrap-up of the weekend. I'll start, obviously. My thing was, I want to kind of go to is the Tyson Fury fight. It's not that I'm really looking at his fight in general. It's obviously the main talking point was Anthony Joshua being there. There's a lot of memes of him going round, and it's going to be my face for the rest of the season. He just sat there very calm in his chair, just looking at him like... He just seems he seems checked out when Tyson Fury is always calling him into the ring.
He's like, I don't need to face middle finger as well.
Yeah. I don't know if that was AI or true, but I saw that as well. But that if AI or not, that is me. Middle finger, don't care. Arsenal, I don't want to talk about football if we don't win this league. But that photo was iconic because and the scenes after of him saying, "I'm the landlord. You don't tell me what to do. You've been ducking this fight for years, but we'll do it." I really, really... Listen, I'm a big AJ fan, as you can probably tell. I'm a massive AJ fan. I've worked with him before, and I think he's just such a lovely, genuine, warm-hearted human being. I've seen him do so much amazing things. He come back after his close friends passed away, sadly, in a tragic car accident. He's there in the community giving money out to people. He's mentally strong, supporting the family, as he should, but, like, doing all these things and seeming like he's going to make a return back to boxing, even though he's gone through this tragedy.
Do you think it's too soon?
So I think it's too soon. Yeah, I think if it was mental strength wise, I wouldn't come back at all. But he probably has more mental strength than I do. But I think, it probably is too soon. It's probably something that, I mean, it's his choice. So he decides when's too soon or when it's too late or not long enough. Sorry, but for me, I don't know how I would return to a ring after that. Even though, you know, his friends are his trainers and they're probably going to want him to continue to fight. And then that might be... what they might have wanted and to see him be successful in the sport, which he already is, but be like, get that fight done and win it for them.
Might be able to use that strategy as a positive and use that energy to become his peak again.
Yeah, which I think is what he's doing. I think Tyson Fury is using, I don't want to say using, it sounds quite like I'm saying it in a derogatory way, but like the Ricky Hatton passing, because he had the RIP Hatton on his shorts. He came out to, which Kim just reminded me, Blue Moon, but I thought he was an Everton fan. He's a Man City fan. He came out to Blue Moon. And I know when Anthony Joshua did the speech and all that about the fight and whatnot, he then went back to talking about Ricky Hatton and Tyson Fury. So I think he'll use that to kind of spur him on. But AJ, I think, like he said, watching that fight, he's quite confident that he'll be able to win that fight, which should be announced quite soon.
That was special, by the way, coming out to Blue Moon. But it is epitomises Tottenham as well. The fact that they've had North London forever in the last as Eubank Ben 2.
Yep.
And then for Blue Moon to then play this weekend, incredible. It's insane.
Yeah. It is mad. So that's kind of what I saw over this weekend. That kind of stood out to me. And also, because I'm a big Chris Brown fan, Chris Brown and Usher are doing a tour. I don't know when it's going to be, but they are doing it. So that's going to be amazing. But anything you saw just briefly over the weekend?
This felt like I was going back in time when I went to Turf Moor to watch Brighton Burnley. But because in the concourse, just as the second half was playing, they had the Grand National on. So like half the Brighton fans were still in the concourse watching the Grand National. So that was quite entertaining. Mm-hmm. Someone, I think they backed Iron Maximus, that was 8-1. They put $100,000 on it on the day and they won £800,000, which is absolutely insane. So yeah, Grand National this weekend. Horse racing's had a little bit of stick recently. I think there was a horse that broke its back last weekend, or maybe it was Aintree this week, that had to carry on and win the race and then was put down literally minutes after the race. So it's had a bit of stick. The horse racing does get stick, but yeah, the Grand National was always a big sporting event on the calendar, and yeah, someone won $800,000, which is absolutely phenomenal.
That is crazy stuff. Crazy.
If you're backing a horse for $100,000, you've obviously got more than $800,000 in your bank account, let's be honest. But so yeah, the guy must have been pretty well off anyway to put that sort of money on.
100%. All right, Ben, well let's end with rant of the week. Let's get some stuff off our chest. I actually feel quite light after having that big spiel about my club, and I got cooked a little bit by Kim, but rightly so. I don't hide from her cooking if it's deserved. But I feel quite light. I've got a lot off my chest. For you, what have you got that's annoying you? Talk to us.
So I just think there's no originality anymore. Movies, music. I'll start off with movies. One that really, really pissed me off recently. Moana, which I've never seen before, is getting a live action remake. Already, even though there's already been like two cartoon films in the past, what, like 5 or 10 years, there's children are still children. They've watched it as a kid and they're still kids.
Yeah.
And there's already a live action remake. Like The Rock is still playing himself. Like he should be long gone by now if they're doing a live action remake. I think that's ridiculous. Making a live action remake.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. That they're making a live action remake. And
no one asked for that.
That's mad.
No one asked for that. Harry Potter being a live action remake, they're making the series now. What is the point? I think every series is going to be one of the movies. Why? Just leave it. And it's also called live action. What is live action? I'm pretty sure Harry Potter was live. It wasn't a cartoon, was it? I don't understand
that
the difference.
That is
absolutely ridiculous. Just leave it.
I will jump in for if you go to your next rant, but I will jump in just to say, hold tight, Disney and The Little Mermaid live action. Obviously, I was in that. Helped pay for my house.
No way.
Got me my credit as well on screen and all that. So big up to that. But you're
that
right.
That makes sense because Little Mermaid, I was a toddler when that came
correct.
Out. And, you know, 20 years later, you want those kids that have then had kids to then watch it again and share the same memory.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I get that.
Yeah, but
if you're going to do a remake, do a prequel like Lord of the Rings have done with their series. Game of Thrones have done quite a few prequels and maybe sequels as well from the famous series. That makes sense. But don't just make the same thing. Same in music. I feel like every song is just a sample or a cover. It's ridiculous. I know Ardy used to get a lot of slack because every single song he done was a sample. Yeah. A lot of them bangers. Diggity, Pump 101 is an absolute banger from 50 Cent. That's a really, really good song. So when it's done properly, it's fine. I just think, yeah, everyone's just making the same song and using old beats. It's ridiculous. What I do like about the new music with like streaming and trends that you see on social media, you see Madonna coming back, her song because of Jim Skin doing the shoulder roll.
Yeah.
That's back in the charts. That's amazing. I think Milky, Just the Way You Are, that's back in the charts. The one that goes, from 2002. And that's again, like in the charts again because of TikTok and trends like that and people using it. I like that. But just using a sample for sample's sake, just come up with something new.
Yes.
On a side note, sticking with music, George Ezra, he pisses me off so much for some reason. When I hear him on the radio, I'm getting a look from Kim over there. He must be a big fan. George Ezra is stealing a living. Must be an industry plant as well. I do not understand that man, how he's made music. He made that green, green grass, blue, blue sky. You better throw a party the day that I die. Him and his boys must have been in the studio. Yeah, we made a banger, boys. That's literally an adult's nursery rhyme. I don't understand how he's, how on earth is that song done so well? It's a nursery rhyme. He performed it at the Queen's Platinum. Is it Platinum Jubilee outside Buckingham Palace? And the lyrics is, you better throw a party before the day that you die. They had to censor that bit because the Queen was on her last legs anyway. And I just don't understand how he makes all of these nursery rhymes. And they're like in the studio working on them and they think, yeah, we're going to make loads of money on it. And they do. How do they make money on these songs and these adult nursery rhymes? I do not know.
That is...
George Ezra just really grinds my gears.
George Ezra and originality. It's interesting. You make a very good point. I mean, Kate Bush running up that hill when Strange Things was coming was in its pomp, which it still is. Great series. That obviously hit the charts as well. You're right about originality because, well, now with the surge of AI, I mean, originality is actually key, because I think people are going to start ripping stuff and you're going to see a lot of fake stuff. So originality is currency at the moment, but it is hard to find. I think even you're a company where, you know, you're trying to do original formats, like that's the role for most content creators as well. Like, it's, I think it's a skill to find it, and I think you're right. I think a lot of things are just being sampled or regurgitated or reused, or they're stealing ideas and storylines and from the past and trying to make them modernized and trying to get traction from that. So that is interesting. Originality, as you're running the week. I like that. All right, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Well, I don't know what, originality, this is an original show that you've been listening to, the VAR, Are You Serious? Here on FUBAR Radio. We've spoken through everything over the weekend. We didn't, unfortunately, have time for the something I do enjoy, which is the Fantasy 11, but that's fine. We can roll it over like they've been doing with the
such
lottery.
Such good names for that as well. Oh, I'm fuming.
Ben, I'm sorry.
Get me on next week and we'll deliver again.
We can do that. I want to kind of just close off as well. Just listen, I hope you guys get European football this season, Brian. I'm hoping for it. But Arsenal, we take on Sporting CP at home. We're 1-0 up currently. Do you see us going through that game with what you've seen so far, obviously, over the weekend? And then off the back of that, is asking for the Champions League too much of an ask for Arsenal fans, do you think, this season?
Yeah, I think I'll start off with the Champions League. I think you will go through. I think you have enough quality to beat Sporting. Definitely, 100%. No to winning the Champions League. I think Bayern Munich look like a different beast. If Barcelona managed to come back against Atletico Madrid, another beast you've got to play against that will just completely eat
Facts.
Arsenal alive. So, no, I think there are some other teams in that competition that are a lot stronger than Arsenal. So, and I would love it if Harry Kane wins it as well. If he wins that and continues having the season that he's got, why not Harry Kane for the Ballon d'Or? Why not?
Yeah.
And if we got that Harry Kane at the World Cup for England, it's another massive bonus for us as well.
I'm such a mug. Like, I did content with some people this week, and they said, who's going to win the Ballon d'Or? I was like, Declan Rice.
No,
we're going to win the league.
No,
we're going to win the World Cup, but he's going to win the Ballon d'Or. And now, within a matter of 24 hours, it all just egg on your face. Anyway, right.
Well, Harry Kane's an Arsenal fan, though, isn't he? So that's another thing. And Arsenal have won a trophy in Harry Kane winning the Ballon d'Or, right?
We can look at it like that. And I'll take that. I'm crying down this mic. But right, well, that is it for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Big up to Ben Spalding as well. Make sure you go check him out across all socials. He's doing amazing things in the sports media space. And thank you again. This is VAR, Are You Serious? Here on FUBAR Radio. I just want to take this moment to give a big message of thanks to our loyal listeners of VAR, Are You Serious? Thank you for being with us and following the show. And we really hope you enjoy today's show. And please, if you're on social media, please follow us on Instagram at @VARUSerious and subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast from, we'll be there. So please subscribe and we'll be back the same time next week for more nonsense and, of course, a little bit of football chat. Love you all. See you again soon.
VARUSerious on FUBAR Radio.